is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
You're listening to the Christian War Room, and war is fought here at BPN Radio in the Christian War Room. Today we're going to be listening to pastor from Las Vegas, of all places, and if there is anywhere Christian warfare taking place, then it is a place like Las Vegas. Now, Billy Crone, quite an outstanding pastor. He's done a lot of work in many areas. Some of the areas which we are covering here in the War Room as well. One of them, for example, is the whole UFO conspiracy, the whole UFO agenda. And we'll be looking at it from the Christian perspective. And there are only very few people, I can only name about four different ministers, who have tackled this subject. It's from a Christian perspective being conveniently swept under the carpet, but a couple of ministers have taken it up, and they've been looking at the whole UFO phenomenon from a biblical and from a Christian perspective. Billy Crone is one of the guys, and that's how I got to know him, just looking what people, what ministers, Bible-believing, evangelical, Christian ministers, what they have to say about it. Okay, so Billy Crone is going to be talking about the War Room today, the Christian War Room, and he's talking about the armor of God. What do you need to do in order to move on in your walk with Christ? And the main point he's making is that you come to Jesus, and it's not about, pursuing prosperity, living the dream, but it's about fighting the battle as long as we are here on earth. And that is very, very important to understand. So I want you to stay tuned and listen to this talk by Billy Crone. I'm going to be splitting up the talk in three sessions. It takes a little bit more than an hour, but we're going to split it up in about three sessions and then divide it for you to follow it over the next 3 days. Okay, you can listen to the Christian War Room at www.christianwarroom.com. Okay, www.christianwarroom.com. And you can pick up all the talks on there, including the full version, the full length of this talk, so you don't have any choppity chops within the talk and no lengthy introduction and so on. So if you want to listen to the whole thing, just go to the website and you can do it from there. Also, let us know about your war rooms. When you go to the website at christianwarroom.com, you can leave comments. I think it's just for the posts. You don't need to register or whatever. But it would be great to hear from you, and also it would be great to know what you've been doing with the Christian War Room, whether you set one up yourself or you are looking at doing it, and tell us about your experiences as well. I would love to talk to you and to see what's going on out there. Okay, you're listening to the Christian War Room at bpnradio.com and www.christianwarroom.com. I apologize for the cold, I'm still flued up. So it's www.christianwarroom.com. Okay, stay tuned here at BPN Radio.
But I think what we can agree upon, even if we've never heard of the Shanxi earthquake, hello, that was a horrible disaster. 830,000 people, bang, just like that, with an earthquake and a mudslide. But again, as you know the theme, with all due respect to those who lost their lives at the Shanxi earthquake, what if I were to tell you I know of a disaster that makes that earthquake look like a game of patty cake? You got to make it rhyme, okay? And again, what if I were to tell you this disaster didn't occur just one place at one country at one time. It's going on right now today, and it's been leaving a trail of death and destruction for centuries. Folks, once again, we were talking about the satanic war on the Christian, and we've got to get this drilled to our heads. I'm not making up. The Bible's replete. We're going to see it again today. We Christians do not battle here and there once in a while. Are you kidding me? Whether you feel it, see it, believe it or not, the moment you got saved, you entered into a spiritual war. We go to war every day. Against what? Something make-believe? No. A real live, actual demonic host who's out there, whose sole purpose is to mess things up, to destroy your witness and your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. So in order to for you and I to stop getting duped and unnecessarily so is the phrase getting unnecessarily so duped all over the place in this spiritual warfare, we're going to continue our study, the satanic war on the Christian. We've already seen if you're going to win that war, what's the very first thing you got to do? You got to know who your enemy is. The second thing, what your enemy was like. The third thing, the tactic of your enemy. The fourth thing, the destruction from your enemy. And the last eight times, the fifth thing was the temptation of your enemy. And last time we saw the fifth temptation he fires at you and I, dare I say, one of the deadliest ones of all, he tricks us into becoming, listen, a traitorous Christian. And what he will do, the devil will actually trick us into giving up our fight against sin, becoming demoralized. Why? Because when you start looking and sinning, and who gives a rip about sin, just like the rest of the world, you start to look like the world, not a Christian. You turn into a spiritual Benedict Arnold. You're like a traitor walking around. I didn't say you were saved, but man, your behavior looks just like the world, right? Okay. And what we saw that the enemy does that by one way, that we don't understand the positive reasons why, believe it or not, yes, God allows us to be tempted with sin. Now, as we saw repeatedly, hello, he's holy, he's holy, he's holy. He's not the author of sin, but he is so powerful who used what is meant for evil against us and use it for good. And what we saw scripturally is sometimes God will allow that to happen to what? To humble us and to strengthen us. I had to use that one again. Don, take a look at you, buddy. Who needs a neck when you're that buff? Okay. But as we saw before, sometimes it's to strengthen us, right? To strengthen our muscles, to humble us. But also we saw it could also be to bless us, right? And the weapons of warfare, one of them we have when we fight this spiritual battle is the weapon of obedience. And believe it or not, though we don't see it or not, every time when we say no to sin, no to temptation, and yes to Jesus, obedience to God, what are we doing? In essence, you're reminding the enemy of his failure. He's the loser. You give him a spiritual uppercut, so to speak. I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to be able to do that. Okay, but believe it or not, folks, that is not the only positive reasons why that God allows some of these hard times. And that's not only the positive thing that he does when he lets us get equipped to deal with the spiritual warfare we're in. The sixth thing that we need to deal with in our spiritual warfare study, if we're going to stop getting beat up and duped all over the place, is we now need to turn to God's protection from Satan and demons. God's protection from Satan and demons. Now, believe it or not, once again, God has not left us hanging high and dry when it comes to dealing with actual demonic issues, actual spiritual warfare. Are you kidding me? He's given us, the scripture is clear. Listen, his full-blown protection, his amazing weaponry, so that we could stand our ground and be victorious, listen, in every single situation. He's not just given us his protection. He's not just given us his weaponry. But when we understand what he's done for us and when we apply it, he says that we can be victorious in all situations every single time. It's called the armor of God, right? Now, I didn't make that promise. God did. So let's begin that journey, and so let's start tearing this apart. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to take a look. We're not going to go through the whole thing. It's going to take a while. But we're going to take a look at this context of the whole passage today, the armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, right? And let's take a look at God's amazing provision. He doesn't leave us hanging high and dry when it comes to spiritual warfare, right? But let's take a look there. In the armor of God, right? Verse 10, here's what he says as we stand. Finally, he says what? Be strong in yourself. Be strong in man-made technique. No, that's going to be next week. Okay, you don't want to say that. Be strong in the Lord and in what? His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Why? Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, since that's true, what do? Again, put on the full armor of God so that when, not if, the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Well, how do I do that? Well, he breaks it down for you. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish, I love that one word, how many? All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and with that, then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with this in mind, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me that I will what? Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, says it a second time, as I what? as I should. You may be seated, okay? Now, I wanted to read the whole context here. Obviously, we're not going to be able to break it down. That's going to take a few weeks, okay? But I want you to get acquainted with where we're going to be heading, okay? And here we see the infamous study in our text. We've already dealt with this text several different times in our spiritual warfare study. But I want to take a look at it again because it's dealing with what we're going to now get into in minute detail. And it's all about the what? The armor of God, right? And we're going to begin to this process of tearing apart so we don't miss, listen, the blessing as why Paul puts it here at the end of the book of Ephesians. As we're going to see, it is not by chance the timing and the placing of this discussion on the armor of God. Okay, there's a blessing in it. But we're going to see overall in the next few weeks that this passage deals with God's mighty power. It wasn't just God's power, it was His what? His mighty power. Listen, that is available to every single one of God's children, every Christian, every single day as we what? Every single day deal with real life demonic issues, spiritual warfare, temptations, etc. And then we're even going to see God's plea in great detail. Would you please put this stuff on? Now, Lord willing, that might be next week, but let me give you a little teaser. The Greek, I can't wait to Greek out. Okay, it actually says there, listen, to be constantly strengthened. Right? Not just be strengthened, but be constantly strengthened, day in, day out. Why? Because you constantly need God's strength to deal with the battle you're in. It literally is there in the continuance in the Greek. He also goes on and says, listen, and when you put it on, it's an imperative. He says, put it on now. And when you put it on now, leave it on. It's a once and for all moment. You put this on, right? You seek God's power every single day. Don't you dare stop. And you put this armor on, you put it on right now, and you keep it on. Don't you dare take it off. That's God's plea. That's just in the first couple of verses. We'll get to that, Lord willing, next week. But we're going to see it also exposes the realities we've been doing for how many weeks now? What I've been saying, the real live, wicked, evil, demonic forces that are out there, listen, every single day in a hierarchical structure seeking to take us out. Do you notice that? We're not even there yet. Man, these demons got it all down. You know, it's just like in a warfare, right? You got the generals, and he goes on down the list, right? Private don't tell the general what to do, but there's a constant order. It even talks about that with the demons. The demons are in a hierarchical structure. They work in order. The evil, wicked demons work in order to destroy us. Too bad we couldn't do that. Be in order. Work together as a team. And think, you wonder why, and that's a whole other issue. The enemy wants to destroy unity because we're not going to work effectively. How good is it if the army is completely all messed up and everybody's doing their own thing and what? Same thing in the spiritual, okay? But that's what we're going to see. It also reveals, listen, the piece-by-piece supernatural equipment that God gives us to experience His victory that He's already given to us so that we could what? Stand firm in Christ, not if but when the evil day comes, right? And you've done everything to stand. When the dust settles, when the battle is over, when the temptation's done, when the spiritual warfare is over, you, Christian, if you do what God says, you will be standing. You're not going to be on the battlefield. You're not going to be sitting down there. You're not going to be... You're standing. When the battle is over, you're going to be able to stand. Now, does that sound like an important thing to understand? Yeah, and that's what we're going to begin to deal with. Now, again, He hasn't left us hanging high and dry. Right? Aren't you glad that when we got saved, God didn't say, hey, you know, before you get to heaven, you know, you're on your own. Just buck up, buddy. You're in a war and woo, it's going to be horrible, but at least you get to go to heaven. Now, He could and be just. Amen? Right? Because praise God, I'm glad by the grace of God, I'm not going to hell. But He gives us so much more. And even though He knows it's going to be an absolute, complete, nonstop, 24/7 spiritual warfare, God gives us, I love this, He gives us His armor. Do you understand what that means? This is God's armor. This is not my armor. This is not your armor. This is not armor that you, with all due respect, buy at Walmart and falls apart 3 days later. Okay. No, it's God's armor. This is God's armor. The actual armor of God that He gives to us. Which means, listen, God never loses. And when He gives us His armor, if you just do what He says, you can't lose. It's His armor. This is an amazing gift, okay? It's His armor. He gives it to us. We cannot lose if we just do what He says to do with this armor. Yes, understand it, but what do you do with it? So that's all your little segue, the intro, okay? So if we're going to experience this victory that God's already given to us every single time with His armor, I personally want to make sure we get it right. Amen? And we're going to begin the process of tearing this baby apart piece by piece. You guys ready? Hey, praise God, we're going to do it anyway. All right, I appreciate your your confidence there. But anyway, the first thing we're going to see about this armor, man, is it is designed for war. We've talked about this repeatedly, but we're going to really get into it now. The armor of God. How many of you guys realize the armor of God is not just so you can look really cool? Hey, look at me. I'm a fashion Christian, right? I've got this helmet on. Don't you wish you had one? Right? No, it's designed for war. This is not a game. This is not a cakewalk. This armor is designed for war. We're going to see that in two ways today. Okay, and the first way is the context of Scripture. Man, how many times did God got to say we're in a war? Okay, in fact, when you see Paul is writing this section here on the armor of God to the Ephesian church, it just happens to be at the very end of the book of Ephesians. Now, how many of you guys can figure that out without any help this morning? Okay, you guys are scholars, right? But it's at the end of the book. Now, listen, when you understand the context of Ephesians itself, and then Paul ends it with the armor of God, it makes total sense. And it makes total sense. You better get this on because we're in a war, right? So let's begin to break down that process of the book of Ephesians, just in overall. What's going on there? Well, the first three chapters, okay, deals with the spiritual wealth, okay? The next three chapters, 4 through 6, before he gets to the armor of God, is our spiritual walk. The first three talk about the theology. The next three are our ethics. The first three is all of our position in Christ. The position we have in Jesus is safe, it's secure, it's once for all. Now, the next three deals with the practice of the believer. The first three deals with the identity. The next three, the obligation. The first three deals with how God sees us in Christ. It's solid, it's secure. Well, the next three is put it into play. How the world should see Christ in us. The first three is the privilege. The next three is the practice. The first three is Christian doctrine. The next three is the Christian duty. The first three is the revelation. The next three is the responsibility. The first three is the Christian blessings we have in Christ. The next three is the Christian behavior. The first three is the heritage in Christ. The next three is our life in Christ. The first three is the work of Christ. The next three is our walk as the Christian, as they should see Christ in us. Christ worked in us the first three. Christ worked through us in the next three. And our heavenly standing in Christ, safe and secure. Nobody can take it. Praise God, we're going to heaven. But guess what? You don't just sit on that knowledge. What do? You apply it in your earthly walk, right? So that's the whole context in a nutshell, if you will, of the book of Ephesians, right? And what we see is Paul deals first with three chapters in the book of Ephesians with the believer's position, right? Our position in Christ. Then he deals with the next three chapters, 4 through 6, with the believer's practice, their responsibility to that position that he talked about in Christ. And then he ends on the believer's warfare. Why? I think it's common sense when you put it all together in the context. Anytime you truly begin to live for Christ, you don't just know the doctrine, you begin to live that out. You not only know who you are in Christ, you begin to live that out. You not only know how God saved you in the world and it's safe and secure, you begin to live that truth out in the world. Anytime you live for Christ, guess what you're headed for? War. Because somebody's out there that doesn't want you to do that. Because our world may never read the Bible, but Christian, how we live the Christian life, we are a walking Bible. We may be the only Bible that they ever read. It's not just knowing the right stuff, our position in Christ, but when you practice that out, somebody doesn't want you to do that. And so do you think it's by chance that Paul deals first with the position, then the practice, and now he's dealing with, you better get that armor on. You better get that armor on. I have a phrase I've said many times. Anytime, this is what I've learned personally. Anytime you want to do something truly significant for Christ, Christian, you're going to pay a significant price. It ain't going to come easy because you're going against the grain of the culture. And Paul knows that. So he tells us at the end, it's not by chance the context of the armor of God. You know it, you live it, you're going to get it. Okay, but God doesn't leave us hanging high and dry. He gives us his armor. You don't have to worry. You don't have to freak out. You don't have to be afraid. Because when the battle comes, not if, you can stand. But you are headed on a collision course when you put this into practice. One guy says this, the committed Christian, and Satan, notice the committed Christian, the one who's serious, the one who's not just knowing this stuff, but living it out. You're on a collision course with Satan. It's inevitable that your life will intersect with the forces of hell as you live for God. And it's constant. The adversary works very hard and very effectively, very powerfully against the committed child of God. And Paul is saying if you are a true Christian as defined in chapters 1 through 3, and then you're living that truth out in chapters 4, 5, and 6, then you could be sure of one thing, you will ultimately run straight into the enemy himself. If you are walking, listen to the context that he covers in Ephesians. If you're walking in humility and unity, not in the vanity of your mind, as the Gentiles. If you're putting on the new man and putting off the old man. If you're walking in love, not in lust. If you're walking in light, not in darkness. If you're walking in wisdom, not in foolishness. If you're not drunk with wine, but filled with the Spirit. If you're not singing the world songs, but psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And if rather than being proud and individualistic, but you're submitting to one another, and then even in the marriage, the wives are submitting to their husbands as to the Lord, and the husbands are loving their wives as Christ loved the church, and the children are obeying parents, and parents are nurturing and rearing their children in the things of God, and if employees and employers have the right relationships biblically, and they're spiritually making a major impact, then believe me, you will counter the system, and you'll run straight into the enemy. It is impossible to live in the manner that Ephesians outlines without having conflict with Satan. It is impossible. So, obviously, the thing to do is run, hide, freak out. No. What's the context? Be strong in the mighty power of God every single day. Because it's coming at your way, Christian, if you're putting this into practice, and we're supposed to. And then you put it on, and you better leave it on. The thing called the armor of God. Okay, you're headed for war. Okay, and again, the scripture is replete with this. We are Christians. It's crazy. I was just talking about someone about this yesterday. I think I said, man, it seems like the average goal in the average Christian today is just somehow you've got, first of all, a padded cross, and then your whole goal in life is just to live for this world, and you act like there's no other world to come, and then what you do is you just tiptoe through life with as trying to avoid as much pain as possible, and then you arrive at death safely. That's it? No, we are in a war, right? And God has called us to do great things. He hasn't left us hanging high and dry. He's given us what we need to listen, stand firm in the midst of the war. Okay? And the scripture is replete all over. This is not a cakewalk. We are in a war. And you better get your game face on. Let me just break that down for you real quick. The Bible says that we are soldiers for Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:7. Who serves as a what? Soldier at his own expense. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of its grapes? Philippians 2:25. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and what? Fellow soldier, he talks about there. 2 Timothy 2:3. Endure hardship with us like a what? Good soldier of Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. How many of you guys realize that when you sign up for the armed services, you don't say, hey, can I go home now? I'm tired of this. Hey guys, this has been really awesome. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm in much better shape, but I'm done now. I'm going to go back to the. It don't work that way. You try that, what's going to happen? You're going to get it. And if you even keep going, hey, Christians, we cannot go AWOL. We have no time to go AWOL. Don't you even think? Listen, that's what Paul, I didn't say. He says, listen, you're a soldier now. What are you doing going back into this world? Once you became a Christian, you're a soldier for Christ. You're in Christ's army. You can't get out. And by the way, why would you want to get out? Why would you want to get out of the shelter of the Almighty God? Read Psalm 91. Man, that's just awesome. But anyway, he goes on. He says, Philemon 1:2. To Aphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. We also not just soldiers for Christ, we war for Christ. Romans 7:23. Paul says, I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, etc., etc. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. 1 Peter 2:11. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which what? War against your soul. We also have the weapons of Christ. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 6:7. In truthful speech and in the power of God with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and left. 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world, etc., etc. We also battle for Christ. James 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from desires that what? Battle within you. We also struggle for Christ. Romans 15:30. Paul says, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle. It's not going to be easy, by praying to God for me. In fact, go back to our text. We'll get into this later. Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle. The Greek word for that, let me give you an idea of what's going on here. It is actually the Greek word that means a wrestling contest between two entities, which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponents down with his hand or foot on the neck. And if he kept it there for a long enough time, the person died. You were given the death penalty. That's the Greek word that's used for our struggle is against what? And then he goes on into the demonic issues. It's a hand-to-hand combat every single day. And he's out there to put his... It'd choke us and kill the life of Christ in us if he could. That's what we're struggling against, right? Philippians 1:30, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have, Paul says. Hebrews 12:4, in our struggle against sin, you've not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. We also fight for Christ. 1 Corinthians 9:26, therefore Paul says, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. 1 Timothy 1:8, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction, etc. Follow them that you what? Might fight the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:2, fight the good fight of the faith. Hold on to eternal life, etc., etc. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought, Paul says at the end of his life, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith, okay? And that's why the Bible, Paul uses the same language in the context that we're in a war. It's the what? It's not the beauty pageant of God. It's not look cool. It's a Christian outfit for God. It is the armor of God. What's that? It's the same kind of theme. And you break it down, that's exactly the same war verbiage. You need to be strong in the Lord in this battle. You need to put on the armor of the Lord. You need to take your stand against the enemy. Our struggle is against the enemy. You need to stand your ground. You need to stand firm. You need to put on that belt of truth. Wear that breastplate of righteousness. Get your feet fitted with the gospel of peace. All these are pieces of a Roman soldier's equipment. Grab the shield of faith. Put on that helmet of salvation. Use the sword of the Spirit. Pray to the commander. Be a Lord, obey without fear. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thinking we're in a war. It's not just Ephesians chapter 6. All throughout the scripture, Paul just builds on it. And he breaks down God's provision for it. But we have got to realize, Christian, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a struggle. There literally is a spiritual force out there who wants to get their hands on your neck and choke you every day. Now that sounds scary and it sounds freaky. But what's the scripture say? You don't have to be afraid. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world.
Yeah, let me just repeat this. Greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. And it's very, very important to remember this. The battle has been won, and we have won the battle in Jesus Christ. It's so, so important to just remember this. But there's still a battle to be fought, and for some reason God has chosen us to fight this battle for him. So I want to encourage you to just go for it, you know, fight the battle, you know, and focus on the task God has put in front of you. It's so, so, so important, okay? We are not here to have a bit of fun and die and then go to heaven, but we are here to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth and to preach it to all creation and to all peoples. It's very, very, very important that we always carry this very, very close to our hearts. Okay, that was Billy Crone. Billy Crone is going to be back tomorrow here on BPN Radio in the War Room. And I hope you tune in and you, try to take something out of this and be, you know, fired up and ready for battle. God bless and all the best. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for this word by Billy. And I want to pray that you will make us battle ready. But Lord, not just battle ready, but Lord, that you will make us battle hardened as well, that we can withstand the wiles and the attack of the enemy. I pray, Lord, that you will encourage us in our walk with you, in our everyday walk with you, and that we will not let go and not let loose of the task you've put at hand to us. We pray for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Schonborn. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.